Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, former BYU wide receiver, Neil Pau. Neil, good to see you. How you doing?
No, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Can I call you Neil, or should I be calling you Coach Pau? Because that's what your life is these days, right?
Yeah, no, I like Neil. Regardless if I'm a coach or not, I have my guys call me Neil still. So, or Coach Neil if they like that better, but Neil's totally fine.
So take me through what you're doing right now, because I was asking you before we started recording, personal coaching is keeping you real busy right now.
Yeah. Right now, I just finished two seasons coaching the wide receivers at Snow.
Yep.
Luckily I was able to help be a part of all their journeys, but the seven guys that played for me a majority of the reps and minutes, all seven of them were able to go to the next level. Some varying from smaller schools in Texas to Oklahoma State to one of them leaving Weber and actually committing here to BYU. So it'll be dope to be able to come to games. I still know a couple guys on the team, but to be able to come watch a kid that I just trained or coached last season come up to BYU, it'll be fun.
What does that feel like? Because obviously you know it from both sides of it, as the player and now as coach and somebody that is kind of on the other side of it. How rewarding is that to see these players not only make the physical transformation, but to be able to reach their dreams and goals?
It's sweet. It's sweet. I think when Kalani was here, and then especially with Fessy, they preached like being a man more, or becoming somebody other than just a football player. And I pretty much took that same message and try to connect on a different level with these kids that come from a bunch of different backgrounds. And some of them having no resources, but somehow made it to Snow. So being able to just connect with those guys and help them understand that this is exactly what I see for you, because at the end of the day, not everybody's going to go play at the next level, and not everybody's going to ultimately make that next jump to the league if that's possible. But if they can just develop relationships and at the end of the day, in 5-10 years, when everybody's career is probably done or whatever, you can still go back to one of the dudes in the room that you became a doctor or dentist, and you can just maybe get a free discount or something.
There you go.
It's been sweet.
When you look at, because as you mentioned, you know, you were a receivers coach for Snow, and you're doing a lot of one-on-one type coaching. What is it about the profession that appeals to you?
I think it's just the nuances. I think there is some art lost in developing kids. I think they're what I had seen even when I was playing and going to certain trainers, it became and I still think it's bad with 7-on-7 and stuff like that, more so a money grab. That the nuances and what I learned myself, because I had to teach myself from playing quarterback in high school to going on a mission and then coming back, I pretty much had to learn a whole new position by myself. And that came from a bunch of studying, working with other guys, working with different trainers, watching a bunch of YouTube clips, and how, in a sense, can I move the way that my body moves? That's what I love about it, and being able to share that with kids and have them understand that you might not be the fastest kid, and obviously coaches are going to say we want speed, but how can I be the best version of myself? And that's what I try to get out of them.
You've already mentioned coaches like Kalani and Fessy. Who are some of those coaches that you look back on your life and career that really made an impact on you?
Yeah, I think it's those guys. There were a bunch of coaches on staff. I think some of the biggest ones were the strength staff, Coach Nuu and Coach Justin. I had those guys my whole time here. And those guys we see more on a day-to-day basis, because we see them in the spring and then we see them in the summer. We only see the coaches probably here and there after spring ball, here and there. But we're with those guys all the time. And wherever those guys are at this moment, I want to just give them a shout out and stuff, because they helped make me, or they helped me grow up a little bit. And I needed a little bit of that, a little bit of maturing. But they always kept it real with me, especially with Justin working with the skills position. They would pull me sometimes into the room and talk to me about what they see, what I can do. And by the end of it, I got what I needed out of BYU for sure.
Can you see that your background as someone that's played at all levels, do you see how much that resonates with the players that you coach? I mean, can you, how much of, I don't want to say advantage isn't the right word, but how much more credibility do you have with these athletes because they know that you've been where they are?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot, actually. I think being able to train certain guys, they understand that, okay, he did it at the highest level and he got there. How or what can I learn? Then I think it turns into, well, can he still show us a little bit? So that's why I try to stay a little bit of active, because sometimes what I might be explaining, they are visual learners. So that's why what also keeps me motivated to be able to stay in shape. So sometimes I'll work out with my guys, or even at practice, I'll run with the guys so they see that I'm not just preaching something or just yelling at something or yelling at them. It's something that I really want for them. And then being able, I think, besides all of that, is being able just to connect on a different level. And that's the biggest part that I've been able to find successful more than anything else, is how can I connect with each individual, build some sort of relationship with them to help them understand, okay, he does. I might not be the guy that's playing a lot, but you still mean something in this receiver room to be able to help even the guys that are playing a lot.
So we know that you're coaching and you're doing a lot of one-on-one coaching. I see you at different places. I was telling you, I see you at the gym occasionally. You were involved in the alumni game last year and caught the game-winning touchdown. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was.
Over Brandon Bradley, who, by the way, was on this show not that long ago. Do you give Brandon a hard time with that one?
No, not really. I know when I'm out there, I'm probably one of the few guys that still work out.
Right.
And I don't know where Brandon is working out. He still looks good whenever I see him. But majority of them, so I don't mind it. It's just good runs and good laughs and stuff.
Look, even if it was just an alumni game, I have to imagine that was – pretty special. Those opportunities to be able to get back onto the field at Lavelle Edwards Stadium with former teammates and legends of this program, that had to feel pretty special to be back in that environment.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Obviously, I didn't grow up a BYU fan. I grew up a USC fan. So coming back and hearing the names while I was at BYU and stuff, I think the biggest and coolest part was this past alumni game, my brother finally came back. I feel like this is his first time coming back to anything BYU related in a minute. And he played in that alumni game. So to be able to just to reminisce and then take pictures after of where we've came from, high school playing together and college playing together. And then afterwards, I think was sweet. So.
Okay. All right. We're going to get into your family. In fact, it's almost like you knew exactly where I was going to go because you led me right into it. Let's talk about where you grew up. You said that you did not grow up a BYU fan, so we'll dive into that a little bit as well, USC fan. But tell everybody where you grew up, what your family dynamic was growing up.
Yeah, so I'm the middle of seven kids, and we grew up in Anaheim, California. My junior or senior year, we ended up moving to Santa Ana, California, which is about 10 minutes away, so still in Orange County. Whenever we drive by, we see the Disneyland fireworks every night, so... Yeah, it was sweet being able to grow up there, and my parents still live there, so whenever we want to go on a little vacation, we still dive back and head home for the weekend or a couple days or whatever that might be.
Everybody knows you, and they know Butch. Anybody else in the family athletically inclined?
The sister after me, she played basketball at, I believe, a D2 school in San Francisco, in the Bay. And then that was pretty much it. The youngest two, they played sports in high school, but my parents didn't really worry about them because they were just smarter. So they weren't worried about them going to school. One of them is a manager for a construction company right now, and that's kind of her first job out of college. And then one is she just applied, I think, to BYU for law school. So if anyone's watching, I hope you accept my sister into the BYU law school so she can stay home, or not stay home, but stay close to my sister, my other twin sister. So
that's very cool. What role did sports play for you guys growing up? Is this something that was always a part of your life, or when did sports become important to you?
I think they were always important. I think it was something that it helped build a little bit of character. It helped us get out of the house so the parents didn't have to babysit us. I think that it helped mold us to who we are, that when situations like hardships or whatever that might be, how can I just battle through it? Even if stuff is not looking, the light is not at the end of the tunnel. You're still able just to climb and just continue just to push your head down and work and work and work. And from the very beginning, I think we even skipped church some days, and on Sundays to be able to go play in championship games. I think we skipped mutual a lot of times to be able to go to practice. So sports was big in our family. We'd leave early from church to go watch the Super Bowl or the Lakers, you know, play in the NBA championship and stuff like that. So it was super sweet.
Was it always, in terms of playing, was it always football, or did you do a lot of different things and then eventually sort of landed at football? This is where I'm going to put my focus.
I think I loved basketball, and I still do. Even when I was playing football here at BYU, basketball, I think, has always been my number one sport. But being in California, you also play volleyball, so I played football, basketball, and volleyball. I think by my sophomore year, I think it just hit me that I was tall, but not tall enough to mm-hmm. play basketball. Being able just to play in the Trinity League that I played in, you watch 6'7" guys and 6'9" guys, and you're just like, yeah, I might just have a better shot somewhere else. So football ended up just sticking, and I'm like, okay, well, at the end of all of this, we'll just see where football takes me. And luckily, I was blessed at the end.
Well, and you had already said that you were a quarterback in high school. Mm-hmm. So obviously a completely different type situation than what you saw in college, and you already alluded to that. How good were you as a quarterback?
I was okay. I think we tried to run the triple option offense my junior year. Mm-hmm. Ended up losing the spot to a kid. He went to receiver, and then we both battled it out our senior year, and then he ended up winning it my senior year. So. And we still ran a little bit of spread and triple option my senior year. So we were okay. I was okay, but nothing to brag about.
So did you get any looks from schools as a quarterback?
So my journey was a little different. I had got offered my sophomore year from BYU. Mm-hmm. Talked with Utah a little bit, but I committed after the BYU football camp my sophomore year. Fast forward to junior day. I come up to junior day, didn't perform super well. They end up pulling the scholarship. So then I go into junior year with nothing, senior year with nothing, and pretty much a half-court heave going on a mission and stuff. So when I went on a mission, it was pretty much a commitment that I made to myself and me and God that if it was His will, that at the end of this, if I did everything He asked of me these 2 years, that I'll be able to play football somewhere. And I think probably a week or two before I finished, my mom gave me a call and was like, hey, Kalani wants to offer you a walk-on spot to BYU. And that's how I got here. Yeah. So by the grace of God, it was just something that I look back and just like different moments, different steps of the way, everything kind of just played out the way it was supposed to.
All right, we're going to get more into that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Neil Pau. This is the Deep Blue Podcast on BYU Radio. Jason Shepherd here, the host of the Deep Blue Podcast, and one of our other great BYU Radio podcasts is 2-Point Conversion, hosted by Connor Pay and Chase Roberts. These guys not only play football, but they love to share their insights and their testimony into the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And each week, those guys are going to discuss the Come Follow Me lesson from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You get to learn and you get to hear from two football players. You can't beat that, right? You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. I'm your host, Jason Shepherd. My guest, former BYU receiver, Neil Pau. And before the break, Neil, we were kind of talking about your journey from high school to college, and it wasn't without its ups and downs.
For sure.
And you had mentioned that you had committed to BYU early, mm-hmm. and then the scholarship gets pulled.
Mm-hmm.
How hard was that to deal with at the time? Because you commit to a school and you're thinking, all right, this is set, I'm locked in,
yeah.
and then it's gone. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I think it was hard. It was more of just like I think it's when you're a kid, clout is such a big thing. And when you get offered and tell everybody, yeah, this is where I'm going to go to school. And I committed because me and my brother played in high school. We always talked about it growing up that we'd play in college. So that's why I committed so early. So when it hit me that like, oh, dang, they were serious about pulling it. And you drive back 9 to 10 hours back to California. It's just a gut check. And didn't know what was going to happen from there. Got a couple schools to go play basketball and volleyball, like at a smaller schools and stuff. But I just knew that it wasn't for me based off of just height-wise
right.
with basketball and volleyball. So
you had mentioned that you decided that you were going to rely on the Lord to if whatever needs to happen, I'm gonna serve you, and when I'm done serving you, whatever the blessings are you have in store for me, I'll be ready. And it worked out for you that you obviously did get an opportunity to come to BYU as a walk-on. I do want to go back to your mission. Your mission was in Salt Lake, right?
Yes.
Was that, by the way, how did you react to that? Because I'm always curious how people react when the mission call is somewhere in Utah.
Yeah, no, it sucked, obviously, when you open it up, because everybody goes elsewhere, somewhere cool,
right.
out of the country, that type of deal. So I thought the same thing. But when I look back at it, 6 to 8 months in, I'm just like, yeah, this is where I was supposed to be. I don't think I could have did the no AC, the no heater when it got cold if I went somewhere, no fresh food that I didn't know what was it, no clean water.
Yep.
So looking back at it and then people taking care of us throughout my whole mission and giving us money, paying for our foods, groceries, I don't think I could have gone anywhere else. So it was definitely a blessing in disguise.
Well, when you came back, you said that that your mom had contacted you, said Kalani is interested in having you come back as mm-hmm. as a walk-on. What was the initial response to that? How did you feel when you got that news?
I thought it was dope. I know that moment I looked back at the 2 years, and I think everyone talks about the worst thing that they did on a mission. My worst thing was I woke up late. I think it was like 6:34 or something, so like 4 minutes late.
Yeah.
And that was my worst thing that I did. And at that time when she mentioned it, I think I had 2 more weeks because I left the transfer early or mid-transfer. So I had about 2 weeks. And those 2 weeks, I was able to go. Luckily, the mission president let me go wherever I wanted to my last 2 weeks. But I'm just glad I kept my same commitment at the beginning and it came to fruition at the end.
Obviously, it did work out, but were you able to put all of the uncertainty about your future? Were you able to push that to the side and focus on the mission, or was that something that was you kind of stressed about a little bit? Were you able to let that go for those 2 years?
Yes, I think here and there. I think when moments you're not teaching anybody, or in moments where you're at dinner and people are asking you, "Hey, do you play football? Hey, we heard that you committed to BYU." Stuff like that. I think that's where it came back to me. But for the most part, I really didn't think much about it. Cause again, I just knew that if I did my part, he'll do his part. And it would have been nice to know like 6 months in or a year in,
yeah,
just so you can plan forward, but it didn't happen that way. And I'm glad that it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen.
Okay. So you get back from your mission. Kalani tells you that he wants you to walk on. So take me through then the process of coming to BYU and what that meant to you at the time.
Yeah, so I get back, and I'm supposed to report that August, and I forgot to take my SAT. In California, we take the SAT, and I totally forgot to take it, so I'm applying. The next time I was supposed to take it is in October, so I totally just missed that fall season. I think that was Kalani's first year, missed that whole fall season, took my SAT, and then came in that following January after that, I think 8-4 season that yep. they had. So right after that, I came in that winter and then pretty much hit it head on. So,
well, and the 2017 season was a pretty difficult year from a win-loss perspective. You were part of that. Take me through how difficult that year was for the team.
I think it was tough. I think there was a bunch of hype behind it. Looking back at it, I don't think we handled the hype that we were the way that we were supposed to. Me being a little freshman, I ain't know much, but I played here and there and I did okay for my freshman year. So I was happy about the way that I played. playing receiver pretty much my first year ever, like first full year ever. So, yeah, headed into that next season, I was more excited about that next season. But I think that season for sure, we just didn't handle the hype the way that we're supposed to.
How did you get yourself ready for a new position? Because as we had mentioned, quarterback in high school, but you make the switch and you've got to relearn a position. How did you do it?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of film study. I think it's a lot of learning from other guys. I wasn't super talkative, so I would just watch a bunch of guys within route. So the mental aspect of the game that people take for granted, I did a lot of that. And then a bunch of it, I'm not going to lie, was a bunch of YouTube University. And being able to just, okay, let's watch highlights of guys. Okay, I think these two or three guys in the league, they might not be the best guys, or they might not be the top tier guys because everybody in the league is good, but they might not be the top tier guys, but these guys move the way that I move. So what, in a sense, can I grab from these two or three guys and implement into my game that allows me to be the best at what I can do? So I knew speed probably wasn't going to be my first thing. So what, in a sense, can help me develop a fast first step? So then being able to transfer over from football to basketball highlights and then football and basketball trainers, what exactly are they talking about that's the same but also different that I pretty much just took? And now as a trainer now and as a coach, I pretty much implement the same thing. So now I see it, try to see it from all perspectives, because I think the way that basketball guys dribble and keep their base, I think in receivers having a base in certain things, whether it's a release or whether it's the top of the route, allows me to push faster than the DB. So then it just became a technical thing, and I just love the nuances of it.
In 2018, like you said, things start to turn around, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of expectations and a lot of hype heading into 2019. Mm-hmm. But then something happens for you, and things get derailed a little bit. Tell everybody what happened going into the 2019 season for you.
Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be the year. So I had always told myself, when I got to BYU, I got 3 years to make it. I knew I was going to battle the age thing that was going to be a factor for from a receiver aspect. I think the age factor doesn't really factor into D-line, O-line, and maybe quarterback. I think those are the other three. Other than that, everything is an age factor that they can always find something younger. So going into that third year, playing a little 2017, playing a little more 2018, I was just like, okay, this is the year. Zach had taken certain steps that, okay, this is – now our quarterback going into this year, and I just knew that, all right, let's just get going. So was it obviously it was a stupid decision and stupid mistake, but I think a little bit of immaturity as well caused me getting a DUI in 2019. And that kind of obviously derailed what you had talked about.
How comfortable are you talking about this these days? Because it's part of your story, but it's also a part of your story that is something that is triumphant for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people probably go through similar things, and it's something that can help others. So is it something that you, I want to say you enjoy talking about, but have you come to some peace with it to where you can talk about it without it feeling like a negative?
No, for sure. I think at the beginning, so my first day, I think I like right when I got out, I texted my brother like, damn, I got some trouble pretty much. He just laughs and is like, what's up? Like, what happened? So fast forward, I think to one time I'm at Vasa and I see it. I'm on the treadmill and I see it on the TV, and there's like a bunch of TVs across the treadmills. And I think I seen it on like three different TVs. Right when that happened, I just got there. I got off and I walked out. And I try to just stay out of the public eye for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I would go eat, I went to a lot of fast food places just to stay out for some reason. I think I became comfortable with it probably like halfway through 2020. Obviously, the pandemic helped with just being able to realize, okay, you moved on from this, you've grown from this, that type of ordeal. I think being able to be let back on the team definitely helps for sure. Because then you can just recreate a different image of what people had you in and stuff. So when that winter came back, they took me off scholarship, but I had to earn it back. I think that also helped in just developing character. I had to go work to be able to make stuff or meet or ends meet. And then fast forward into that 2020 season, yeah, it became comfortable after that. And then being able to talk about it to different guys and people would ask me about it. I know at the beginning, people were like, oh, why aren't you playing or what happened? And I just say, oh, yeah, I just got in a little bit of trouble. But now it's just free flowing when everybody asks me. So I ain't care.
Well, when you look back in this, and I think this is something, not specifically with that, but I think there are, everybody in their life goes through things where maybe it's a crossroads and they have a choice to make. What advice would you give to someone that feels like maybe if they made a bad choice, that you can come back from this? There's a choice to make after that choice has been made. What advice would you give to somebody that may be listening to this that may be going through something similar or just, you know, feeling like, you know what, I've really screwed this up. I don't know how I get back from this.
Yeah, I think it's just time. I think they just got to understand the concept of time and how it all plays out. And it's crazy just being able to look back from high school, okay, not getting a scholarship, not being able to play as much as I wanted to. Everything took time for me. And I think if everybody just understands the concept of time and how it goes, that at the end of it, it might be faster for some. But for me to come to BYU, it took 2 years. For me to be able to really play the amount of snaps that I wanted, it took about 3 years. And then obviously my brother. My brother was my biggest supporter in all of this and still is. And whenever I needed something throughout it, I texted him for it. So being able to find a time and space to just sit back and deal with everything by yourself, being able to walk outside and see the sunshine and touch some grass, doing that type of stuff, and then being able to have one supporter. I think if you don't have a supporter, there got to be somebody in somebody's life that you know you can reach out to that they would definitely do anything for you. So if they for sure couldn't, I would love to be able to help if anybody needs that. Just so I can share my story and reach out to on that aspect. So,
you know, besides your brother, obviously, and your family, I know you've talked a lot about just how important Kalani was, and obviously as the head coach, but, you know, he came to you not as your coach, but as someone that just wanted to be there for you. And I know that meant a lot to you. What role did he play in it during that time?
Yeah, I think it was – I talked with Kalani a little bit, I'm not going to lie, throughout that process. I think he's so good at forcing his staff to connect with his players. And that's the way he kind of conducts, at least when I was there, he conducts the rooms. Okay, you coaches, go figure it out. So my connection was more with Fessy than with Kalani at the end of the day. And me and Fessy had our bumps in the roads from the very beginning. I remember I was late to one meeting. He had us, we got in trouble as the receiver room for something. I can't remember what it was. And he had us come, I think at like 5 a.m. to have study hall in the receiver room. And I missed it. I just woke up and it was just one of those things. I woke up late and he just sent me home. And that just started off kind of our relationship from there. Then it kind of gets a little bit better. And then the 2019 season happens. I think when I come back and I express to him where he missed as, I believe, a coach to be able to connect with me and make sure I was okay, I think that's where we grew. So I've explained this before. We had our ups and downs, but by the end of it, from 2020 going to that 2021, by the end of it, it was good to see him at the alumni game type of deal. So whenever we see each other, we always say what's up and laugh about old times. But it's sweet for sure.
So as you've mentioned the COVID year, the 2020 year, which was just a bizarre year, not just in sports, but in the world. But from a BYU football standpoint, it was a pretty good year.
Yeah.
How rewarding, even though it was in a very bizarre situation, how rewarding were some of maybe, you know, like the 2017 team that didn't go so well and sort of ramping things up to be able to have all those pieces and have the 2020 season turn out the way that it did because you guys were rolling.
Yeah, I think it's a shout out to the guys obviously here that got the games and everything situated for us to fly there and play, but also the other schools that are willing to be able to play during COVID as well and what their schools did for their players to be able to be good to go and stuff. Obviously, the biggest game, I guess, of the year, we freaking lost. But it was a dope experience. And that one game itself completed for me, even though we lost, completed the 2020 season, because that actually felt normal for once being at Coastal Carolina, because I don't think they had restrictions. So they were just, there was beer and people were drunk, and it just felt like a normal college football game that in a 2020 season where you go and play in front of nobody, like, which was so weird. Shout out to Coastal Carolina and stuff as well. So I was able to meet and play with one of the guys in Buffalo. He's on Tampa Bay now, but he played D-line for Coastal Carolina. So when I first met him there, we just, whenever we saw each other, just talk smack and stuff. And how he always laughs about how they beat us. They have some big poster whenever he goes back to Coastal Carolina, how the score of the game, and he always takes a picture and sends it to me. So
he's got to rub that in, right?
No, for sure. It was sweet, though.
The three things that I remember about that, obviously, unfortunately, the loss. Mm-hmm. I remember Zach getting hit, mm-hmm. and BYU fans BYU fans, players, everybody, nobody took kindly to the hit he took.
Yeah.
But then also, I just remember that game was being played on such short notice.
Yeah.
What was that like to try and get ready for a game on the other side of the country in what, 2-3 days?
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
I'm not going to lie. I felt confident. And I think a lot of the guys, whether they want to say it or not, I felt confident in the scheme that we had. And what we were going to go up against. I don't think, besides their front four on an offensive side, besides their front four, I don't think their back end had anything or anybody. I think we just were blowing teams out, that we just got kind of tight. And football is just a game of inches, a game of moments. And those moments that we were supposed to have them, I think Tyler fumbled once that whole year, and that was the game he fumbled. So just different parts and moments of the game, that's where I think they just capitalized. And then being able to talk to my homeboy that's in Tampa Bay right now, he had mentioned that their game plan was just to rough up and make the game dirty. They knew that we had blown teams out and everything looked pretty to us. And their biggest thing was, okay, Zach hasn't been touched. Let's just see how he does throughout the game. Let's just, like, at the end might, like, shoulder check him or something like that. And being able to hear that from him, and then how it kind of just flustered everything else as you go back and watch the game, that's where I think they got the advantage. And I mean, the refs we could say whatever the refs want to do. I think they let us play at the end of the day, and we just didn't handle it the best. And I think that's why we lost.
Well, in 2021, you had a really, really good year in 2021. Mm-hmm. What do you remember from that season?
Now, that was just a carryover from what 2020 was. Yeah. I think we had set the standard of what we wanted to get back to in 2020, leaving 2017, 2018, 2019 alone. I think 2019 even, I think they were about 500. So going to 2020, it was supposed to be the year of everybody's finally, you know, we have the right people in the right positions. Everybody's older. All right, let's just go attack this. So 2020 led into 2021. I just remember a bunch of stadiums being packed, and it started off obviously with a great win against Arizona and Vegas, and then we don't cruise, but we end up winning those games, come to Boise State, and that's where it just, I don't know what the heck happened. It could have been the rain, it could have been whatever, but it was just a dope season. I think finishing it, I ended up getting injured at the Idaho State game, but finishing it, I don't think we finished it the right way to be able to set the standard for what's next going into 2022, because I think they took a down year that next year, and then that down year led into another down year or whatever, and then this year happened, and now this should be the standard of where 2020, 2021 were.
After that season, mentioned, you know, that you had a really good year, and obviously you talked about the injury, but you declared for the draft. Mm-hmm. At what point in your career did you realize that was a reality for you?
A little bit in 2020. I had a couple agents reach out to me. I think Fessy had talked to me about certain teams that were coming to look at Zach. We had pretty much all those schools that were talking with Zach somehow come, or just, oh, who's this? And then 2021, they knew Tyler was going to get drafted based off his 2020 year. So I knew it was there probably halfway through 2020, and I was just excited for what's next when 2021 came around.
So the draft then comes around. You don't get drafted, but you pick up an undrafted free agent contract, mm-hmm. with Buffalo. Mm-hmm. What was that process like?
nothing. You just sit there. I think the 3 days goes by slow when you're in it. Especially as the rounds go, you're just sitting there waiting. I actually took a nap and woke up from my agent calling me at the time.
Really?
So I was just like, I don't know how time's going to pass. Like, I worked out in the morning. It's already noon, so there's not much I can do else to just stay busy. So I was just like, forget it. I'm going to just go home, shower, take a nap. And then I woke up from him saying, hey, there's like two or three teams. And then I think we just settled on the Buffalo one to happen.
Was this something that you, was this something you expected? Were you expecting to get drafted maybe later in the rounds, or based off of the intel? Because I know there are, you try and get as much information as you can to make make a decision. What were they telling you going into that, to that draft?
I expected it. He had mentioned like maybe the end of the draft. I just kind of, I'm more realistic, so I knew that would probably go undrafted based off of Tyler having the big year. I played a big role in that 2021 season. But not being able to go to some of the Senior Bowl games and being able to perform in that, I knew I would have performed well to get me to the Combine, which is you have to have a certain amount of votes, and I just missed it. So not being able to perform at those bowl games to get me to ultimately, I knew I could have just performed well enough to get me to the higher bowl games, then hopefully to the Combine. I think that would have set me up a little bit better. But at the end of the day, I knew that it was going to come down just to the undrafted and what that happened.
So what was it? What were the preseason games like with Buffalo?
They're sweet. I think Buffalo, I'm a West Coast kid, so the East Coast is just a little different in its entirety. So, but the Buffalo people there are freaking amazing. And what you see on TV is exactly what you'll see in person. Whether it's a Sunday game, a Monday game, a Saturday preseason game, or it's a Tuesday after we just finished practice and we go get some wings from a famous spot out there in Buffalo. They're also welcoming and stuff. The one thing I don't like is they're very big into blue cheese. And with wings, I'm a ranch guy. So
Okay. They
really didn't like that you asked for ranch. But they would always give me a hard time about it, but I couldn't do the blue cheese stuff. That stuff was nasty.
Nope. Yep. Amen to that. But you and I could go have a meal together. I think you and I would get along real well looking at the menu. Okay. So you go to Buffalo, and I've mentioned that I see you at the gym. Occasionally, I'll still see you wearing Buffalo Bills like shorts. Is that... Yeah. I don't want to read too much in. Were you turned into a Bills fan, or is it just a pair of free shorts?
It's a pair of free shorts. I'm grateful for the opportunity I got. I think I was never an NFL guy anyways.
Really?
I loved college more, and I still to this day do. Now I'll watch guys that I know. So I know a bunch of guys from training in the offseason when I was in it. Even now I'll watch certain guys.
So who are you watching now? Who are you following in the pros? In college.
In college, I just watch USC, really.
Yeah.
Like, that's been my team. And then I'll watch, obviously, all the big-time games that are at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, that type of deal. But USC is the team that I keep up on. Even when I was playing, I would still keep up with them.
And then who are you following then in the pros?
Right now, it's just a bunch of guys. So, obviously, I'll watch Tyler. We were roommates for, I think, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I go to probably a game a year wherever Zach's at. I'll go watch him. And then
Miami this year.
Yeah, I know.
Not too shabby.
I know. I'm excited to go there.
So when things did not work out with Buffalo and in the NFL, how did you handle that part coming to an end?
I think that's the hardest part for guys is getting told no your whole life. You just, even from high school to college, you still get some sort of, yes, we want you. So then when they told you, and it's the business part of it, when they told you no, it was just kind of, okay, now I have to shift my mind to, as a man, I just got to survive now. So what exactly is next for me? And dabbled a little bit into individual coaching, and luckily I was blessed. By the time I was done doing a bunch of camps and stuff like that, figuring out if I want to continue to play, it came to the summer of 2023. And then my brother had texted me and asked me if I wanted to go coach at Snow. And that's where it just kind of happened. So
what do you think as we wrap things up? What do you think is next? What does the future hold for you, do you think?
Yeah.
Do you want it to hold for you right now?
I hope it's still in some aspect of coaching. And obviously I would love to coach the wide receivers, but being able to share what not only I know, but what especially I've been through that allows guys from different aspects to feel – at home, whether they come from afar or they come from a small city, whatever that might be, being able to see the development of kids as a man, I think that is something that I for sure want to do pretty much the rest of my life, if it's God willing. So being able to train kids right now has been super, super fun. And being able to get that one-on-one time with them and be able to fix some of the things that I see wrong, or then just being able just to laugh and have them get a good laugh out of school or whatever that might be, I think that's been sweet and stuff. So we'll see what the future holds with coaching, and hopefully an opportunity comes up this fall.
Well, Neil, I appreciate you being willing to do this. This was a lot of fun. You were certainly a fantastic player to watch and to cover. And certainly, you know, one of the best to come through here at BYU. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes, and I hope you enjoyed it.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right. Thanks once again to my guest, Neil Powell. My name is Jason Shepherd. Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms, or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.